Hey there, podcast listeners.
Welcome back to the third season of the Bridge Stories podcast. We are your hosts,
Bianca
and Nick,
both from the class of 2021
at UWC in Mostar.
Every Saturday, we'll cover a current global issue from our guest's personal lens.
Thank you for being here. We really hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back to the Bridge Stories podcast. Today we have a very special guest. If you could introduce yourself by giving us your name, where you're from, your age, and what school you go to.
Hello, I'm Christo. I'm from Bulgaria, and I'm 17 years old. I'm going to talk about the recent Bulgarian election.
Sure. Could you give us a brief overview of what are we going to do today?
Okay, so the election was last week on Sunday, and we're going to talk about all the events that led up to the interesting result and what makes the result interesting in general.
Could you introduce us a bit about the political system in Bulgaria currently?
Yeah, so it's kind of complicated, but generally speaking, after the communist bloc fell, for those 30 years since then, it's called the transition period. So we're transitioning from communism to something else. We are representative democracy. So the people elect their government, which is considered a set of 240 members of parliament. So there were many parties, many governments since then, but as of recently, for the past 11 years, a certain party called GERB, which means Citizens for European Development of Bulgaria, with the Prime Minister Boyko Borisov, led the party, and they have had their fair share of corruption scandals and things that led up to this week. There's also a lot of timelines that also led to the result of last week, but that's quite the political situation.
All right, thank you so much. You mentioned one of the political parties in Bulgaria. Are there any other major political parties that are, you know, very popular in Bulgaria?
Yeah. So last week, six parties got more than 4%, which is the threshold to enter the parliament. Three of them are old parties that have been in the parliament for quite a while now. These are the leading party, the party of the prime minister, which is a center-right party. Then we have the Bulgarian Socialist Party, which is what the Bulgarian Communist Party turned to. And then we have the movements for rights and freedoms, which is the Turkish minority party in Bulgaria. The Socialist Party, interestingly enough, got the lowest percentage and the lowest result they have ever gotten since their existence. And same for the leading party, which I guess we'll talk about later why that happened. But those are the major parties, and also three more parties enter the parliament, which are parties affiliated with anti-government movements. Yeah, they stand anti-corruption, and their whole manifesto was reforms in judiciary system, and generally fighting against those three parties and those long-lasting traditions of the Bulgarian politics scene.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do you think that will possibly happen after that? So maybe a coalition government with the current ruling party, with other opposition party, or something else?
Okay, so it's really interesting that the arithmetic don't work here. All the parties that enter the parliament, before entering the parliament, they have promised we won't make coalition with certain parties, and we can make coalition with certain parties. In order to have coalition in the Bulgarian government, you need 121 members of parliament and to actually vote on the government and vote on the prime minister. And but the thing is, mathematics here just don't work. There is no way that the government can be formed because the Socialist Party and the Turkish Minority Party are something like an opposition, a long-lasting opposition of the ruling party, but are also like part of those old parties that are just have so many conflicts against them from the people, you know. And also the three new parties that were affiliated with anti-corruption, they also don't want to form government with the Turkish Minority Party and the Socialist Party. So it's really interesting. It just doesn't look like a government can be formed at this point. What would happen if no government is formed? So according to the constitution, the president gives the chance for the first party to form a government, which is the ruling party currently, who won. They certainly won't be able to form a government, of course, if all the parties that enter the parliament stand by their word. Mm. Then the president will give it to the second party, which was the surprise of this election. The second party is actually the party of a showman, a really famous showman in Bulgaria called Slavi Trifonov. Mm-hmm. He's just really popular. A lot of young people voted for him because they actually grew up watching him every evening. Then he will try to make a government, and there's only one kind of possibility with the Socialist Party supporting but not taking part of the coalition with only parties that are like anti-corruption and anti-government. But I don't know how realistic that is, and if that doesn't happen, then the president can give it to a third party the chance, but that probably won't happen. If the first two parties can make a government, then probably the rest can't make either, and that will probably result in another election. But as of right now, it's uncertain. That's up to happen. It's interesting to follow, and we'll see what happens with that.
Could you please give a little bit more? So you talked about like the parties and like how they can form coalitions. Talking about the actual election itself, what was the lead up to that, to the election like for normal Bulgarian people? Like, were there a lot of riots? Were there a lot of protests? And then could you be a little bit more specific about the actual election results themselves?
Yeah, of course. So there are two major timelines that led up to the elections, to the result that we got. And one of them is Slavi Trifonov, the showman himself. He has had this night show since 2000 on one of the most popular Bulgarian TV channel. He has always been like political in his show, but it was never about politics. He was really liked. He is still really liked, of course. In 2016, he decided to try to change some things in the system by making a referendum. They got enough signature to make the referendum like real. And in 2016, people voted for three topics. One is changing the subsidy for parties from 11 Bulgarian lives a vote to one Bulgarian life a vote. Second was mandatory voting, and third was a majority system instead of representational system. Those three things are not like related to corruption and like problems in the government generally, but those are the points that he tried to get through. 65%, like there is difference between the three points, but generally around 65% voted yes for them, which is enough, it's a majority. But there wasn't enough people who voted, because according to the constitution, in order for a referendum to be mandatory for the government to accept, the turnout has to be the same as the previous parliamentary election. It was really close, it was like less than 100,000 people, but because it was less, it was not mandatory, but it was recommended for the government to accept it, and the government did not accept any of the changes. They changed the subsidy from 11 to 8 Bulgarian lives, and they did mandatory voting, but it's not like no one can keep you accountable for not voting, so it's kind of not mandatory anyways. So that's why, so also in 2019, his contract with the TV station wasn't renewed, mm-hmm. so he had to leave the TV. And on and he made his own TV channel called 7/8, and after that in February 2020 he registered his own party with his motive was to implement the changes that weren't implemented by the government according to like to the referendum. The party was is called there is such a people, which sounds weird in English. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in Bulgarian, it kind of makes sense.
What is it in Bulgarian?
I mean, it is what it is. It is like there is such a people, and like it just sounds better in Bulgarian. I don't know how to explain it. And then the second timeline was the protests, which happened last year, which is like the reason for them is like, yeah, corruption, but like the whole scenario was really really complicated and weird. So. I'll try to make a summary. So in August last year, three men from another party that entered the parliament this election, called Democratic Bulgaria, landed with their boat on the Bulgarian beach, next to a huge villa, and they actually filmed everything live on Facebook. This live now has 1.3 million views, which for Bulgaria it's a lot of views. We have like population of 6.5 million, 7 million. Mm-hmm. On that beach, there next to a huge villa. This villa is actually a property of the former leader of the Turkish minority party, mm-hmm. which is claimed to be opposition, but the person has a huge villa on a Bulgarian beach. And what's really important to say is Bulgarian beaches are public property. They cannot be private property, and the person has a beach, so they went to the beach next to the house, actually not to that direct, and a few guards came and started pushing them from the beach, which is public property, which is their property, everyone can go there, to the sea, and the most thing that people found most ridiculous was not that just random guards just came, but those guards are officers of the Bulgarian army. They work for the National Defense Service, and they protect the person, this former leader of the Turkish minority party, who is not a member of parliament, mm-hmm. who is not a minister. He has no right to have this defense. Mm-hmm. And it is really interesting. So Bulgarian officers, of the Bulgarian army, just pushing Bulgarian citizens from a Bulgarian territory into the sea. Also, I think that a really interesting thing that happened was, so those three men came with a flag, so that they can like symbolically claim back the land as Bulgarian. And one of the guards, who is an officer of the Bulgarian army, again, I'm just pointing that out because it's important, got the flag and threw it in the bushes. Mm. And what's why it got really public is because for our 1,300 years of history, Bulgaria has never lost a flag in a battle. And here we are in 2020, when a Bulgarian officer gets the flag from Bulgarian citizens and throws in the bushes. So after that, because the national defense system is controlled by the president, the president came the same night and announced that he actually doesn't make the decision who exactly gets guards by the army, by the defense service, and actually that's government's job. And that spiked a lot of negativity towards the government. So the next day, the general prosecutor, who has strong ties with the government, it's weird. The judiciary system should be independent, but it's so tightly it's so strongly tied to the government that, that it seems like the general prosecutor is not independent at all as he should be. Mm-hmm. He the next day he raided the office of the president, which was really shocking for so many people, and that's why so many people the same day came to protest against mafia, against corruption, against the government. Around 20,000 people came in the day or like the following days, but the protests were like 100 days or something like that. The largest protest since 2013 in Bulgaria. 3 ministers actually resigned after that, but the whole government was kept in place, which probably did help at that point, because the opinion polls were strongly suggesting that people want change, and then as time passed, I think that the ruling party kind of get caught back to their feet. So maybe those results are better for them than having the election like if they resigned like last year. Also, those parties got a lot of attention. Those 3 parties that I mentioned that are like anti-government got a lot of attention next to the protests and like being on the protests and speaking to the protesters. One of them is the party of the showmen. The other are the party of the people who actually went to the beach. And the third is the party that formed with the people from the protest. Mm. A really interesting thing that happened 1 week after the president stated his position was people actually went to the road that leads to this villa, to this beach. And they, because the road is also guarded and people cannot go through it, which is also illegal because roads are public property of the country. So they went there. They started. Weirdly enough, there was a gathering of the Turkish minority party there. So like all of a sudden they decided, okay, what if we gather there when there is a protest against trying to get to the villa, right? Mm-hmm. So there was a huge protest that wanted to go to the beach through the road, and there was a huge protest. There was a huge supporting gathering for the former leader, whose house it is, whose villa it is. It got really really weird, but it was a really interesting event. At the end, they reached the beach. They put the Bulgarian flag. They sang the anthem, and everything was really. It's symbolic in a way. Mm-hmm. So that led to the so of course, like, election was a few months later, almost like a year later. Mm-hmm. But those results kind of reflect what the Bulgarian public is thinks about. So I'm just gonna go through how the leading party with Boyko Borisov got 26% of the vote, which is 7% less than what they got last time, which is a big jump. Then the party of the showmen, which is a new party for the first time getting to election, they got 18% of the vote.
18.
Yeah, but he is really famous. Mm-hmm. People really do like him, which kind of got him to this position. The Bulgarian Socialist Party, which is always like second. Mm-hmm. Got this time 15% and is third, which since last time it's 12% less, and it's the worst result they've gotten since they were created. Then it's the Turkish Minority Party with 11%. They kind of always get around it. It's just how many Turks vote. Then it's the Democratic Bulgaria. It's the party of the 3 people who landed on the beach. They got around 10% as well. And then it's the party from the people from the protests. Mm-hmm. They got around 5%. And these are all the parties. As I said, those 3 parties which supported the protests do not have enough members of parliament to get majority. So we'll see what would happen. But this is how we got to this point.
Yeah, I mean, even though we can see like the corruption already existing in the current government from the Vila incident, it's still good to see people that are like seeking for changes, reform, and a better future for Bulgaria. But do you think there might be corruption existing in this election?
In the election itself? Okay, so the thing is, Bulgarian, like, according to, I think, Eurostat, I'm not sure, but it's an official statistic anyways, 1/4 of the Bulgarians work for the state, for state institution, for governmental institution, any type of... and also, a lot of them do work with big companies, which are associated with the government. So a lot of them, that's what we call controlled vote. It's they can't really, especially in like rural areas, in villages, they can't really vote with freedom, with like, because it's just, they know, okay, there are 150 people in this village, all of them are gonna vote for that person, you know, and that's what, and if someone goes, then they're just gonna be suspicious to and they're gonna try to find them and things like, and especially in small areas, in small communities. And that's really obvious, because like, yeah, I'm saying that, but do I have proof? But then you can go and see the result, and there's just polling station which vote like 90% for a single candidate. Mm-hmm. Like, how that happened? Is that like, yeah, they're not a lot of people, but if there are 1,000 people, I don't see it, how 1,000 people would just decide to vote on the single candidate, right? It's interesting. It's widespread. It's every, for example, there are two villages next to each other. One of them decides to vote for the Socialist Party. The other decides to vote for the current ruling party, for the center right party. Well, like with huge majorities, they're like two ethnically the same villages. How do they decide, right? So this is the control vote. And also there's paid vote, which is really usual in Roma communities. Mm-hmm. Which could be like in big cities, could be like in smaller rural areas. They often just go there and pay them to vote, like around 50 Bulgarian lev. There are always, like every election, there are like media reports about that, but just the government does nothing about it, mainly because they're elected that way. The only like independent vote in a way is in big cities, towns, and abroad. Bulgarians abroad vote extremely independently. There is no control over them whatsoever. That's why their results are always like so different from the rest of the country. Just because, like, for example, the Slavi Trifonov won there. Second were Democratic Bulgaria, with combined like 50% of the vote. Mm-hmm. And as of right now in Bulgaria, in the whole country, in the whole election, they combined have 25% of the vote. And also big cities, when you're like anonymous in the big city, it's easier to vote freely independently. But still, big cities have Roma communities. Big cities have a lot of institutions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So also that's a problem. Yeah.
Could you also explain the with a lot of elections around the world during COVID-19, there's obviously an impact there. Could you explain the impact that COVID-19 had on these elections, if there is any noticeable impact?
Yeah. In what I noticed was a lot of elections did have a big impact from COVID. Ours wasn't that much. I would say that it wasn't the main topic. It wasn't even like close to the main topic, which was obviously like corruption and scandals. And we could assume, because the Bulgarian Socialist Party's main demographic is people above 60 years of age, so we may assume that their percentage got lowered from that as well, as like from League to other parties.
Yeah.
We don't really know. Also, what is important is that we, Bulgaria, had the biggest percentage of deaths per COVID cases, which was a big deal. Also, the government often were not really they didn't really keep their word when it comes to measures. Mm-hmm. For example, they would say something today, then they would say it, then they would, two days ago, they would be like, oh no, that was a stupid idea, let's just not. Mm-hmm. For example, masks are mandatory today, 2 days later, there are not enough masks. Okay, you could have thought about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think people didn't like. I think that's also one of the reasons. I don't think it's the main reason, that's why I didn't really mention it, but probably it is a reason. And it, of course, COVID did have an impact on the elections. Probably the slightly smaller turnout, even though it was a really important election,
mm-hmm.
was because of that.
What do you think the future will be? Do you think there's going to be a coalition, or do you think that there's a better chance that there's going to be another election?
Honestly, I have no idea, and also sociologists have no idea. It's
mm-hmm.
it depends solely on the parties, on
yeah.
what the leaders decide, on what the members of parliament decide. So we probably won't have a coalition led by the winner, and then we if we're gonna have coalition, it will be led by Slavis Trifonov, by the showman.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this won't happen, but if the socialists decide to support it in any way, I just don't know. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a really really difficult topic to think about. We'll see. It's
yeah.
interesting to watch.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask, so how people around you, like back home, perceive this time, like this election, the result of the election, how do they perceive it?
Because as I said, most of the votes for those parties that are old school parties that are part of the system is mainly like controlled. It's not really genuine. I do feel that people are happier for the results, because if we finally got a lot of representation of the people who actually genuinely wanted to vote.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, the nationalistic parties that were part of the previous government, there was like a coalition of nationalistic parties. They split up, so they could, none of them could go to the parliament. So we have no representation of this nationalistic vote. So that is interesting to note. Would people have some hope? I guess some people who probably genuinely believe in Borisov and the prime minister probably are disappointed by those results, but I do think it's an interesting situation, and we all benefit from having different things happening. Even if those people won't be the best government, we just try to see if they can make a better.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.